side before y'all came in because we were here. And so what we're looking at here is the we space, the internal and external we space, which gets very exciting as we move into later developmental levels here. What we're looking at is how do we create a we space in our consciousness in the first place, and what can we learn by understanding it through the developmental spectrum? So, in first-person perspective, the we space is given to us, but it's not that we recognize the we space necessarily. For example, we don't even recognize that our hand is part of our body. And so if we don't recognize that our hand is part of our body, how do we recognize that we're part of a we space or not? The we space is held for us, and therefore it's held outside. We did an exercise earlier, which I think we have too big of a group to do here, but it was a simple hand passing exercise where you stand in a circle and you send a signal. But if you don't give the instructions, nobody knows what to do. And so how long does it take for the new signal to get around if I pass a signal? And so it took us 5 rounds to do that before the signal got all the way through the circle. And so if part of the circle isn't working, if part of the neural connective isn't working inside the individual, then the signal doesn't get passed all the way through. When the signals get passed all the way through the neural network, then it registers in consciousness. But we have to have some external experiences for that to occur. And that's what happens. Oh, off it went again. We've been having some tech problems here. There we go. Okay. So in the beginning, it comes in the concrete form. We're not understanding nuances like strategic plans. We're understanding concrete signals through the senses: sight, sound, touch, taste, smell, and movement. Movement is very wonderful. It's a very important sense to have. When we get this movement, we can move into a second-person perspective eventually, but what does that take for a person to move into a second-person perspective and actually create a we space? How many people have raised children? What happens when you say no to a little child? Anyone care to demonstrate for us? No. There we go, yeah. So we get a lot of no's, and what this is that we start perceiving a world, we start creating a world, and the world that we first create is a very important one, and one that we all love to live in, and that is that I am the center of the universe. It's a wonderful, wonderful childhood narcissism, and I'm the center of the universe, and everything revolves around me, and if I cry, magically the universe gives me what I need. I don't have to have language. I don't know language. All I have to do is cry, and the world magically gives me what I need in good situations. And so what happens is, if you were giving everything that you need every time you whined or cried, everything just magically fell on you. I want a house. Ah, boom, a house. Wow. I want a new sports car. Ah, wow, this world is magic. Isn't this great? Look how it works. So we get used to that. And in our childhood, stars kind of grow up too fast sometimes. They get plucked out of childhood into the stardom, and they're wealthy, and they actually, it's easy to go back and live in this system. In fact, probably any of us would go back and live there if those kind of magical things started happening. If we could get a car as soon as we cried, or a lover, or all the money in the world, or a change in world politics. So it would be very easy to go back to, I'm the center of the world. And that's not a we space. That's an I space. But what actually manufactures a we space? Can I have a volunteer? Great. Come here. Okay. So what manufactures a we space?
there's some resistance. Wait a minute, you were supposed to go over there. You were supposed to go over there. No, go ahead and give me resistance. I'll just do everything that I want. Wait a minute, what do you want?
I want to help you out right now.
Oh, well, I want you over there. Well, we get resistance. We get resistance in the world. Thank you very much. We get resistance in the world. Eventually, we push boundaries too far, and somebody says no. Somebody says no, and that push against our individual will lets us know that there's something else going on. And eventually, we discover somebody else has consciousness. Somebody else has this. So, another two volunteers, please. Thank you. And this is a favorite Terry O'Fallon exercise. And what we're going to do is put you right in the middle and go, what do you see? What do you see?
I see a woman.
What part of her do you see?
Her eyes.
What part do I see?
Her eyes.
Yes, from a first-person perspective, that's exactly what happens. So what actually happens here, because the we space gets formed in this moment, what actually happens in the space where I go, what do I see, in second-person perspective, and you say, in second-person perspective,
her hair.
Her hair, right. What actually happens in this moment, because this is a manufacturing of the first we space, is that a part of her consciousness pops out of her head. And goes, oh, this is what he's seeing. Oh, this is what he's seeing. But my body's still over here. So my body doesn't get to do that, but my consciousness gets to drop over, drop into the other person and go, ah, I see something from the other side. That's what's happening. So our conscience, thank you very much. A lovely hand for our volunteers. Yes. So what we've done is we've split our consciousness in two. And this sounds like maybe a scary thing, but it's actually the manufacturing of the we space. It's when we first understand that people see things from their own perspective different than ours. Otherwise, we think when I look at your eyes that everybody's looking at your eyes. And so when I say, when I say that I want a truck, I'm assuming everybody wants me to have the truck. When I want the toy, everybody wants me to have the toy. There's no other understanding. So when somebody doesn't give me the toy, they're being mean, or there's something wrong, because everybody knows that I want the toy. So part of our consciousness gets split, and this is the first time we have a split ego state. And this is a normal, healthy split ego state. It allows us to see another perspective, and it manufactures the we space. And it's the first we space we get. And this is when we start wanting to really help out. How many people have raised kids again? Do you ever remember them saying, can I help? Can I help? How often were they helpful at this stage? It was easier to do it yourself, wasn't it? But by allowing them to help, they did help, and they started feeling important, and so they developed the first concrete we space. How do I help out? How do I move through the world in a space with other people? So how do we do that? That's what's going on. Okay, just checking my time here. So now what we've noticed is we have an internal we space and an external we space. Our mind has two consciousnesses or two halves of consciousness. And we have two perspectives, two people perspectives here. And so now what I have, instead of I want the toy and the truck, I have the, I want the friend. I want the community. I want the friend. And so we have friendships form, and all of a sudden we have the first space of friendships. How many people remember first getting into friendships and how important they were? Yeah? Only three. Okay. This is going to be a difficult talk. So we get into the we space, the friendships, and friendships are the most important thing in our life. We want them more than anything, and we want cell phones now because they allow us to have friendships. We wanted cars back in my day because they allowed us to get to our friends. And so the items that start becoming important are not necessarily the toys that were just for personal benefit, but the toys that help us play with other people, that create friends. And even the gaming technology that children get a lot of times today, they want to do gaming technology that helps them interact with people around the world even these days. Yes?
Can we mic you up?
What?
Can we mic you up?
Am I not mic'd up? I'll speak louder. There's another chair over here.
Just
a simple solution.
Chairs. You can just move your chairs a bit.
That's a perfect.
Okay. So now we've got two consciousness. We've developed an internal we space and an external we space. To understand this resistance that I got from this bad guy over here that kept telling me no, everybody turn to the bad guy. He told me no. That's right. He's the bad guy. Bad parent, bad mommy, bad daddy. Whenever they say no, we're the bad guys. We have to be willing to do that to help our child become part of the we space, part of consciousness, growing up. So we have the two parts inside of ourselves, the two people. So the internal we space is growing up with the external we space. It's growing up together. So when we move past this boundary, the 2.5 on the stages model, I can't translate to other models anymore. We go into the subtle tier where we start looking at a new signal starts coming in. It's not concrete signals. It's signals like how do we think about our thoughts?
Over.
How can we think about our thoughts? Okay? You can't really pick up a thought. You can't taste it. You can't smell it. So how do you think about a thought? But that's what we do when we get in the subtle tier. We start thinking about our thoughts. These are kind of crazy things when you think about it. What is that thing? How do we experience a thought? But we do. We start thinking about thoughts. We start having feelings about our thoughts. We have feelings about our feelings. We have thoughts about our feelings. So these new signals are coming in. We start becoming aware of these new signals coming in. And it feels, we start getting a sense of our unique self away from the concrete collective, which is all about following the rules and the roles. But now we start discovering our unique self. This is going to be very important for our next collective, okay, which we want to experience, fourth person perspective collective, because we need to be able to come to a unique understanding of ourselves so that we can show up in the collective as unique people who are sharing information, sharing experiences together. So what I'd like you to do is all stand up. And I want you to think of one unique thing that you usually don't tell people about yourself, but you'd be willing to tell today to somebody here. One unique thing about yourself that you don't generally say. And keep in mind, these unique thoughts might be those horrible thoughts we don't want anybody to know. Or they might be those kind of good thoughts about ourselves that we just don't ever really share because we don't say nice things about ourselves. It doesn't have to be very horrible or very nice. But just enough that you tend to not say it. Just enough that you tend to not say it. And what I want you to do is just move into the space, and when you come to somebody, just say, one thing I want you to know about me is, or one way that I'm unique, that I feel my uniqueness, one unique thing that I want to share about myself is, and just share that. And then I want you to just sit with that for a little bit. because this next we space is about seeing that our consciousness is part of everybody else's consciousness. That we all, what we see in another person is also in us. And this is what happens when we get to the subtle collective, is we start noticing that this conscious collective that we have is really about we're all part of the human condition. And what we're doing is we're getting to know the human mind, not just our own mind. So when we come with our own unique self, we present that to another person, and then the other person's job is to go, I can see that in me too. And then they share something unique about them, and you sit with that until you can see it inside you too. And then when you do, move to the next person. Let's just do this exercise for a few minutes. Go.
Happy Christmas.
Closer to the person after them? Any hand? No hands. Okay, I failed again. Okay. So we created this we space. How did you do that? How did you do that?
You shared.
Honestly.
Yeah, but they were just words passing back and forth. What happened?
Seeing the common.
What?
Like seeing the common things.
Seeing the common. What happened to your consciousness when you saw the common? What?
Resonance.
What?
It feels familiar.
Feels familiar.
Like you know.
Feeling connection.
Feeling connection.
Compassion.
Compassion. I'm asking you guys, yeah. Okay. So we're going to talk a little more about how our consciousness divides, because when we get into third-person perspective, okay, first-person perspective, it's all about me. Second perspective, me and you. Third-person perspective, how can I look at this from an objective point of view and start seeing things differently? I can observe the two people talking, and as a result, I can think about what's going on in a different way. I can think about my thinking, and I can think about my feeling, and now I can share those unique things with somebody else. What are we doing here? We now have the capacity to divide again into a fourth-person perspective, so that we can hold a first-person perspective, a second-person perspective, a third-person perspective, and a fourth-person perspective, which allows us to have four parts inside that are operating simultaneously to help us create an experience. And this experience is what you guys were calling resonance, connection, different things like that. Resonance is a common word that starts happening here. Resonance, energy fields, different things like that. Notice that? Now, what's happening here? And I'm not saying I have the answer. I wish I could open up my little black box and say this is how it works, right? But we understand that this resonance starts happening. And so the question is the conscious field always there and we're just starting to recognize it? Or are we manufacturing it? When color comes into your eyes, are you manufacturing that color? Or is it coming in from the outside?
That's a color.
That is a color. Because it does take our brain to actually process it and generate the color. And yet, it's coming in from the outside. So, back to the question. Is consciousness coming in from the outside? Or are we manufacturing it? I think we have a little bit of a two-edged thing going on here, right? Because it takes a little bit of our consciousness to develop the complexity to get there. And there does seem to be something coming in from the outside. So what we have now is at least four ego states. Four ego states to sum this up. And that's in the best of conditions. Because how many people have felt like they've gone through a little bit of trauma in their life? Anybody? Am I the only one? Okay. A couple of us have gone through a couple things after we lived to be ancient like me, but maybe more than two things. So every time we do that, we may create also an extra trauma ego state. Anybody ever do shadow work or anything like that? Okay. So this is shadow work. We have a trauma ego state that gets walled off, okay? How does our biology work? Our biology works by, if we get an infection, it walls it off into that area so that it doesn't kill the rest of the body until our body is strong enough to come in and go through that wall to heal the infection, and then we don't die and we heal the infection. Our psychology does the same thing. We get traumatized, we wall off an ego, a part of consciousness, which we will call, and for our purposes here, an ego state. It walls off a part of consciousness that holds that pain and suffering, because if we were to completely hold it and feel it, we would not function and survive the rest of our day. So we wall that off. It's like an infection that's being walled off. Now we go through our day and our weeks and our years and our decades. And we do all these wonderful things, like we're going to figure out what to do, and we start our business, and we start doing these wonderful things with our business, and then anybody notice self-sabotage occur ever? Anybody? Am I the only one? Okay. Well, there's a couple of us. Okay. So what happens is this walled-off ego state starts going, listen to me! You know, and it's like, you know, no, you're annoying. I got to get rid of you. Hey, listen to me. I got to get rid of you. And then all of a sudden, you know, you get tired because you're working so much and you go to sleep, and then the little ego state comes over and takes over the body and says, oh boy, we're going to really have fun now. We're going to do what we want to do. And I got control of this body, and now I'm going to do all those things that I wanted to do that this jerk wouldn't let me do. Yeah, right? So notice that I have a little bit of a dialogue going. inside my head. Anybody notice a dialogue in their head?
All
right. So, oh, we thought we were so unique. So we got this dialogue running in our head. That's the internal we space. And the funny thing about the dialogue in our head is we often see the external we space very similar to the internal we space. Did we notice that? Has anybody ever noticed that? If we have criticism in our mind, we notice criticism out there. If we have judgmentalism in our mind, there's judgmentalism out there. So the question is, are they manufacturing the judgments, or are we manufacturing the judgments? Oh boy. So this is where the internal we space and the external we space tend to start lining up, because we only see what is encoded in our mind, in our brain, in our consciousness. And so what's encoded, we will see. And so we will be primed to see that. So if we have a bunch of judgmentalism in our mind, we're going to see a lot of judgmentalism out there. If we see a lot of evil tyrants out there, we probably have an evil tyrant in our mind. How many people hate Trump?
Trump.
Anybody got a little evil tyrant in their mind? Says mean things to him sometimes? Okay.
Totally everybody loves him.
So, what is our task here? Our task here is to do what we just did in this exercise. We walk up to each other and we look them in the eye and we say, this is something that I want you to know that's unique about me. I have a really evil tyrant inside my mind. And he beats me up and I hate him for it. Do you relate to that? Because how many of us really have that, huh? How many of us have a tyrant and how many of us have a victim inside? Okay, yeah, all right, there we go. Okay, and so we see that. So how do we heal that? And how do we change the internal we space so that we can actually even perceive a different external we space? And that's how we do shadow work. That's how we do self-dialogue, where these two are in battle, and we bring them together. And you know what? It's amazing. I don't know if anybody's done this, but when you do this work, the evil tyrant often ends up being the one that's just really trying to make it all work, doesn't have very good skills about it, so it does a lot of kind of, you know, slave trade type of stuff, you know? But once it has some skills, once it has some understanding, once it has some love, if you can love your tyrant and ask it what its positive intent is, you can do that right now inside your mind. What's its positive intent? What does it really want? Get past the part where it says, I want to beat you up. No, but if you beat me up, what would you get out of that? What is it you would get out of that? I want you to
be safe,
to grow.
To be safe, to grow, to be powerful. Okay? So we have all of these messages, and that's what it's really wanting. So what happens when the two polarized ego states come together and say, yes, we're going to do this together? Then we have this cooperative resonance internally. And we have cooperative resonance internally in our consciousness. What happens when we enter the we space and do circling exercises like Jordan does? What's going to happen to that resonance? If we're encoding the resonance inside, how much stronger will the resonance be outside? Right?
Say that again.
If we encode the resonance inside, how much stronger can we make the resonance interpersonally? The resonance is inside. Now, what we can do is we can create rituals that kind of push away the ego states, and we can just enter into this ritual space where we can feel the resonance, right? But what happens when we step back then and incorporate all these ego states and create a true, peaceful internal resonance, and then we step into that we space? Can you imagine the difference? Okay, that's what we're sharing about, the internal we space and the external we space. What you see outside is inside. What you see inside is outside. And we can create resonance. You know how to do it. We create resonance internally, and we create even more resonance externally. Thank you very much.